Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Savior Jesus Christ as we enter this new year, 2022. We'll be looking at the words of the Old Testament, if you would like to keep that open in front of you during the sermon. My dear Christian friends, God has many names. I think we all know that. If you've ever seen that one picture of all of the names ascribed to Jesus itself, so many different ones. But in the Old Testament, God revealed himself with some very interesting and fascinating names. First of all, the most generic term for God in the Old Testament language is Elohim. And it can either refer to the triune God or many false gods also use that term. I believe in Elohim. I believe in God. We use that term generically in our society today. One of the most important names for God in the Old Testament is Yahweh or Jehovah. It's exclusive to God, and when you read your Old Testament and you see capital L-O-R-D, that's a reminder that this is that special name for God. It's the name in which he reveals himself as the eternal God of free and faithful grace. When you see that capital L-O-R-D in your Old Testament, you think Savior God. There's also the name El that God uses on many different occasions. El is the term that distinguishes him from everything else, especially from human beings. And it's usually attached with another attribute of God. So on one occasion, he called himself El Hay, the living God. On other occasions, he called himself El Elyon, which means God the Most High. At other times, he used the term El Olam, which means I am the eternal God. And then there's the term El Shaddai, which means God Almighty. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord, the Savior God, appeared to Abram and said, I am El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. Because what he was about to say to his servant required Abraham to believe the impossible. And that's what we want to talk about today. When God reveals himself, he wants us to always believe that the impossible is possible. And that's, in fact, what Christmas is all about. It's what we witness every year. The impossible becomes the possible. Now, you and I live in a world of sitcoms. That simply means that you go from problem to a solution in 22 minutes. There's a conflict and there's a resolution and it takes 22 minutes. And sometimes I think in society we get this idea that all of our problems should be resolved in a really quick way. But that wasn't the case for Abraham. When we meet Abraham in the Bible, he's a 75-year-old, relatively wealthy man whom the Savior God appeared. And the Savior God said to him that he wanted him to lift up from his family from the land of Haran and move down to Canaan. And he said, I will give you this land. And on top of that, he said, I will make you a great nation, and all of the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Problem solved, right? 75 years old, I'm finally going to have a child. But a decade goes by, and he still doesn't have a child. So the Lord had to appear to him again and remind him of the fact that he was going to keep his promise. In fact, this time he sealed the promise with a covenant, a contract that only he could sign and seal for Abraham. Problem solved? Well, we run into another problem. He said, Abraham, you're going to have a child. but he didn't specifically say with whom. And Abraham and Sarah kind of figured that, well, I'm getting pretty old, and maybe what you should do is have a child with my handmaiden, a custom of that day. Problem solved, right? 86 years old, he finally has a son. But Ishmael, who was conceived and born by Abraham's doing and not by God's promise, brought nothing but headache and hardship to the family. Now Abraham is 99 years old. And St. Paul tells us in the book of Romans that by this time he knew that he and Sarah were dried up past childbearing years. Martin Luther once says that God has to often empty us before he can fill us with his blessings. What's amazing is what Paul goes on to say. He says he did not waver in unbelief with respect to God's promise, but he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. Why did he hold on? Because the God who made a promise to him, A, never breaks a promise, and B, he is El Shaddai. He is God Almighty. And that simply means that God is not subject to nature, but nature is subject to God. And by using the special name, God was the Savior God, was reminding Abraham of that truth, that he was in control of nature. And the Bible says that Abraham laughed. Not out of unbelief, but because he knew that with God all things are possible, and that he and his wife, somehow by God's power, were going to really, truly have a child. 25 years it took for the problem that confronted him to become the problem that was solved. When the Lord defied nature and allowed Abraham to conceive, he was 100 years old. Not in 22 minutes, 25 years. Because with God, all things are possible. Christmas is the time of the impossible becoming possible too. God determined at the right time that he must leave his throne and assume our human flesh and blood so that he can redeem those with flesh and blood. And when Mary asked how she could become the mother of God, the angel Gabriel said to her, "For nothing will be impossible with God." And who should know better than an angel who sees the impossible become possible all the time, right before their very eyes? It is impossible to believe that anyone who is born under law, under its demands and under its threats, can keep them 100% perfectly all the time. As a child, as a teenager, as an adult. Yet this little baby who is born under law that binds us is able to keep the law perfectly for us and never sin. Because with God, all things are possible. It is impossible to believe that a tiny little infant can carry the load of humanity's sins on his tiny little shoulders. Yet with divine power that makes Atlas look like a wheatling, and he puts your sins and my sins and the sins of the world on his back and carries them to the sacrificial altar where he receives the full punishment for all, every single one of them. It is impossible to think that one man can forgive the sins of the whole world, but yet Jesus has done that for you and for me, because with God all things are possible. And it is impossible to think that a human being can willingly give their life up to die and then turn around and, while dead, give that life back to himself. But the one who has the power to buy us back from the grips of sin, death, and the devil has the authority, it has the majesty, and has the right to do so. And he proves that to us by his resurrection. Sometimes people who read the Bible and see the countless miracles, the power of El Shaddai working outside of the laws of nature, think that God doesn't do the impossible like he used to. The sun doesn't stand still in the sky. Waters of seas don't divide so that you can walk through. We don't see dead people get out of their grave and live again. But you know the glory of Christmas, don't you? The impossible becomes possible. After all, he made you his child, right? You want to talk about the impossible? He made you a child of God. You. Why you? What did you do to deserve to be made and called his child? Yet here you are today with all of the rights and all of the privileges, Paul says, of heaven, forgiveness that you don't deserve, the indwelling of the Father and the Son that keeps you a child of God, and the certainty that when you die, you will rise again and you will be with Jesus forever. Why you? Because God still does the impossible. He saves you. Do you need more proof? Look around at the people in front of you. Look at the people who lead you in worship today. Why are we here? The Bible says that we're all dead in transgressions and sins. And God took dead people like us and made us alive and breathed a new breath of life in us, a breath that smells the sweet scent of forgiveness and a beautiful aroma of joy and peace and a right relationship with God, the freshness of new life that he has worked inside of our hearts. Why? Because at Christmas, the Savior God became one of us and earned those blessings for us. Do you need more proof? El Shaddai said to Abraham, "Walk before me and be blameless." What he meant by that is, live your whole life devoted to me. Who are we to think that we can serve the living God with our life and our heart? Who are we to think that we can please God in heaven? Yet St. Paul tells us, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you understand what God's holy and perfect will is, his pleasing will. When we walk by faith, as did Abraham, when we remember our status as a member of God's kingdom, when we reflect the love of Jesus and live the fruits of the Spirit, God can do and does do yet another impossible thing. He uses us, unworthy as we are, to be his servants, to display his love to those around us. and to give glory to his name. Every day, God then does the impossible for us, and he does it through us too. Such a life reflects another one of those names that you read about God. The term is Adonai. He is my Lord. He is my Master. The one that I can gladly serve with my whole heart and life. All because he is El Shaddai, the Almighty God who can do the impossible. But most of all, friends, for us, he is Jehovah, Yahweh, the one who has loved us and has freed us from our sins so that we may be his kingdom of priests to serve him all the days of our life. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.